Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
So I talked about those girls just a moment ago. One of the girls was so into her time of worship, both hands up, just fist pumping, really into worship. And there were two young boys who were seated like in the middle of the row there. And they had stepped out and they were trying to get back into their seat. So there was the one girl on the end, she's worshiping, and they're kind of saying, like, excuse me, and she sees them, and she realizes, so she steps back, and they try to step in. But this other girl, she was having none of it. She just was oblivious to the fact that there were two boys there trying to get to their seat. All she could think about was that time of worship and worshiping God, raising her hands to Jesus. Finally, the boys gave up. They said, we're not going to get to our seat this way. We're going to have to go around. And they did. They did go around. But as I witnessed that, it made me think about this, what we're observing right here in communion. Jesus had a seat right there at the right hand of God. And then when the time came for him to come down to earth, to accept, to take on that responsibility. And he knew what that was going to end up in. That was going to end up with him dying on the cross for our sins. He could have said, you know what? I'm not leaving my seat here. I'm not going down there. But he didn't. He did not reject us. Those boys, the word that came to my mind with them not being able to get their seat was they were rejected. We were not rejected. Christ accepted that calling, and he left that nice seat to come down and accept that responsibility for our sins on the cross. I was thinking about when we went to the Stronger Men's Conference last year. As a leader, I had a special band that Dexter gave me a hard time about because he accidentally got it at first. I wanted my band back because that gave me access to a special room for all the ministers that were there, pastors, ministry leaders. So I went in there, and it was a beautiful suite. They had some food. They had a pool table there, all kinds of nice stuff going on. So I went in there, and I met some of the other pastors. But before the conference started, I said, I need to get back to my guys. And there were some who didn't do that. They stayed in there in that comfy setting. I said, no, I need to be out there with my guys. We're here together as a group to be fed this word. Jesus did that. He left that setting and came down to earth. And that's what we're remembering right now, the sacrifice that he made. But let's go ahead and let's get right into the message today. If you have your bulletin, it says, read the label. You know, today we have a lot of different avenues and sources of information available to us. And that includes labeling on food. You know, there are people who have very strict diets these days. There's a lot of allergies that take place. And so people, when they buy a food product, everything has to be labeled now. And you need to look at that and see what you're getting. We had in August, right when the kids started school, was Eli's birthday, and he was able to bring cupcakes in to his class. But we had to make sure that there were no tree nut products because of allergies. And you know how hard that is to find something that's not tree nut based. Even if they don't make it, they can't guarantee that where it's processed, where it hasn't been exposed to it. So it's very, very hard to find that. We did find Schnucks had some prepackaged little mini cupcakes, so we were able to find something. But it is something we have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to read the label. What are the ingredients? How do you do something? This past week, a group of mine from work, we did a team building exercise for a program called Feed My Starving Children. And we put these little food packets together. And they gave you very precise instructions on what to do. It was an assembly line of getting these products together and then packaging them and then boxing them. And they had to be a certain weight. I mean, everything was very exact in what we had to do. Not only so that they could package it and send it off, but then when the people that receive it can prepare it. And we must have done pretty good because there was a total of all different groups that were there, 167 people there. They said it typically they average a box per person by the end of the session. So that would mean we should have been right around 167 boxes, right? We did 249 boxes, so we must have followed the directions really well because we went way over what we were doing. And also the impact it had on people when they saw where this was going and what they were doing, the impact it had on them. But being aware of your surroundings. I just received a book a few weeks ago called Fighting Back. It's a book I read back when I was a teenager, and it's kind of what helped for those of you who all give me a hard time about being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. It was kind of the book I read and the story that kind of sealed my becoming a Steelers fan. It's a story about Rocky Blyer, who was a football player who was injured in Vietnam, wounded, and then came back and became a star player with the Steelers. But he talks about in his book, when he went over to Vietnam, you had to be aware of the different customs there. He said one thing he called out was, you know, around here we have no problem walking up to a child and saying, hey, how you doing? That's a sign of disrespect in Vietnam when you do that to a child. So you have to be aware of your surroundings. And understand that we are engaged today with our surroundings. We're engaged in spiritual warfare today. And we need to be aware of that. And how we act is planting a seed. And it's the seeds that we're going to look at today. It's the seeds that we plant. And we're going to look at the fact that what we plant is what we sow, is what we reap. So we need to be aware of the seeds that we are planting today. I bought a couple years ago, I was putting a garden in, some tomatoes, some peppers, and some cantaloupe. We like to do a couple little cantaloupe plants. So I was at Lowe's, and I was just buying the plants, throwing them on there, taking them home. As I started planting, I got to the cantaloupe plants. I planted one cantaloupe plant, and I went to grab the other plant. I realized that was not a cantaloupe plant. It was in the bin with the cantaloupe plant, so I didn't pay any attention. I picked it up, but it was not a cantaloupe plant. Thankfully, I found out before I put it in the ground, so I was able to go back and exchange it. But it just shows you have to be aware of your surroundings. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6 today. This is Paul's closing letter to the Galatians, or this is the closing of his letter to the Galatians. And I tell you, these verses we're going to look at today are just so chalked with information and instruction for the people that Paul is providing to the Galatian people. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ." So, you know, several weeks ago, we talked about warning people about doing life alone and how we need to be there to support others. And this is called out in this passage right here, that we're to call out when we see a brother that needs help. We are called to go in there and help them. And that does come with a warning. Because if you look at verse 1, it says, be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So you are there to help lead that person back onto the path towards God. And so you allow God to work with you through that because you need to be aware and make sure that you don't get pulled into that same temptation that you're trying to help them through. Verse 3, if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. And when I read those words, I said, ouch. Ouch. I am not that important. I'm not all I think I am. we get so caught up sometimes and we're gonna look at a few verses down and what our external appearance is and how people see us and perceive us. And sometimes we can't be bothered with something small that we think is too small, that's beyond us, that's beneath us. And the story that popped to my mind right away was the story of the Good Samaritan, where this Jewish man is beaten on the road. And two of his own people, a priest and a temple worker, they saw him. And you know, and as I went back and read, and if you, and we're not going to read it, but if you go to Luke chapter 10 and read it, I would really encourage you to do that. It's amazing how even when you think you know a story well and you go back and you read those words, how something jumps out at you. Because all this, you know, I just always talk about them. They see him and they just pass him by and move on. But if you look in Luke chapter 10, they walk, they see him, and they cross to the other side. Not only do they walk past him, they try to get as far away from him as they can. They go to the other side. They want nothing to do with this man. And yet it's a Samaritan, a person who is looked on. Matter of fact, I use the NLT translation. It says a despised Samaritan. These are people that are looked down on, but who gave of himself and reached down and helped that man, helped care for his wounds and made sure he received the treatment that he needed. He didn't think he was too good for that. But we do. We get too caught up in what we look like. There's been some great videos if you're out there on social media and that. But again, we have a wealth of information available to us, right? I just said that a couple moments ago. So it's not uncommon to see an athlete or something who's maybe, I've seen a couple were like with Mike Trout playing catch with a boy in the stands. Well, there was one I saw not too long ago, Josh Donaldson, who's a third baseman for the Indians. And if you're any baseball fans, Cardinal fans here, you know there's always talk of him coming to St. Louis. But where he goes and he picks a little boy up out of the crowd, picks him up, carries him onto the field, pulls his glove out of his back pocket and starts playing catch with him. And again, that's not, you see that, okay? But he's playing catch with him, just engaged with the young man, making his day. And then he carries him back, lifts him up, and puts him in back into his seat. And the thing that you don't see in the video, but you find out about later, is he autographed a ball for him. And what he put on there was he mentioned a boy by name, and he said, "Thanks for playing catch with me." Giving some value to that boy. Even though this is a superstar baseball player, he wasn't too good to give some value to that young man. Back in when we had the floods in 93, you know, and again, sometimes it's not unusual for celebrities to do something good, but sometimes you call into question their motives because there's a PR staff with them or whatever, you know, that's filming it, recording it. Back during the flood in 93, there were some St. Louis Blues hockey players. They were right down there on the front line sandbagging. There was no Blues PR staff around them or anything. They were just there because this is their community, and they wanted to do what they could to protect it, and they were right there sandbagging with everybody else. They weren't too good for that. We are not that important, folks. Verse 4. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. But comparison's what we love to do, isn't it? One of the great joys, and I say that with tongue in cheek, of raising a 10-year-old boy is watching boys compete with one another. I can play this game better than you. I have this toy. Oh, I got this. It costs $500, even though it maybe costs $50, really, but they said it costs $500. Always having to one-up each other. Be the best. And I've also had the kind of the distinct privilege of raising two daughters And back when they were growing up, a big show was called Boy Meets World. Now today we have Girl Meets World. So I've got to experience both of those. But in Boy Meets World, I was thinking back to an episode way back in the first season where there's Corey and his buddy Sean and another boy. They're meeting in the lunchroom at school. And they're having a competition over who got to stay up the latest based on how much of the Tonight Show they watched. I got monologue. I got monologue first guest. I got monologue first guest music. Just going on and on, upping each other to see who stayed up the latest. We do. We get so caught up in trying to compare ourselves to others and not worried about what's going on in our lives, just doing what we are called to do. And there always has to be a competition, a comparison. Verse 5, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Let's not get in that comparison. Let's worry about what we are doing. I've shared this with you before, but in the movie Mom's Night Out, there's a great scene. And if you're not familiar with the movie, it's, you know, there's three moms with distinct backgrounds who get together. They go to church together. They each had their own little story, but they get together because they need a night out away from the family and the kids. And one of the moms is played by Patricia Heaton. She's the pastor's wife. So they're at a bowling alley. They're bowling. And somebody sets down a whole bunch of empty beer bottles at the table by where she was. She can't have that, so she grabs them in her arms. She's walking away. Well, by the time she does that, they put the dance cam on. And she's on the dance cam, and she's up there on all the screens holding all these empty beer bottles. And, of course, there's a church member there who is too good for everybody else. She's always good at picking out other people's faults. She sees the pastor's wife up there on that screen with those beer bottles, and she gets a big old grin on her face. She just can't wait to run and tell somebody about it. Get caught up in what other people are doing. We need to focus on what we do. Focus on how are we serving God and not comparing ourselves to the others and not calling others into judgment. Verse 6, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. And when I read that verse, that just smacked me right between the eyes. Because too many times we're bringing all the bad to the teachers, to the pastors that we have in our church. And yes, they are there to serve us. They are there to listen to what's going on in our lives. But sometimes we just dump so much on them and we never bring them anything good to try to help them out or to try to lift them up. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think today is Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. You know, we got to have a day for everything. And our pastor's not here, but his wife is here. His daughter is here. And if we could just let them know how much they mean to us. How much Pastor Barry and Gina have poured into this church for the last 18 years. I was having lunch with a pastor friend not too long ago. We get together periodically, kind of compare notes, how are things going, that type of thing. And this poor brother, I mean, he had just been beat up. And he just started sharing and unloading and unloading. And I just sat there and listened. And they said, how you doing? Well, I wasn't about to just start unloading on him. I said, you know what? I'm good. I'm doing okay. What can we do for our teachers and our pastors, those who are serving God? What can we do to bring good to them? Verse 7, this goes back to the title of our message about reading the label. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not tire of doing what is good. at just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Read the label of your life. When other people are reading your label, what are they seeing? Are they seeing someone who's harvesting good, or someone who is caught up in the decay that can bring them down? A couple weeks ago in the men's group, we've been going through the series that for those of us who attended the Stronger Men's Conference. And the message we had a couple weeks ago was from Pastor John Gray. And one thing that Pastor John said was, as I look in a chair right now, I see three men. I see the man you were, the man you are today, and the man you are called to be. So as we think about that, what did we do yesterday? What are we doing today? And what are we going to do tomorrow? We harvest what we sow, what we plant. So what is that seed that we are planting as we read the label of our life? Verse 10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. We've talked about this for the past few months now, about the importance of reaching out to everyone. The message that God gave to us to spread was for everybody. And we are getting so caught up. Yeah, I was having a conversation with Carmen this morning about we have to put labels on everything. People, we talk about reading the label. We always have to label people. And she was talking about, and she did not get to attend it this year, but she was talking about attending a women's conference last year, and one of the speakers was an African-American woman who was frustrated with being labeled as an African-American speaker, not just someone who's speaking the Word of God. The message is for everyone. And Paul, he's wanting to make sure he's getting the attention of the Galatian people here as we go down to verse 11. And if you have your Bibles with you, I don't know if it's all in bold print, verse 11. Mine's all in bold print. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. It wasn't unusual for Paul, as the letters that he sent out, to maybe dictate some of that to someone who would capture it and then send it out. He would speak it, they would write it down, and then it would be formed and then sent out. Paul took the pencil this time. He wanted the people to understand what he's getting ready to close with is something they really need to listen to. Verse 12, those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. Reading the label of others now, what is their motive? Are they just trying to get another notch on their gun belt just to pull you in and then just put you to the side? Are they really caring about your life and what they're pouring into and what they're sowing into it? I just mentioned a minute ago about Panama. So the first mission trip that I went on was to Quina de Lage over in Lisbon, Portugal. And that was the first time that SCRC had did a return trip to a location. And then the next year we went to Panama, to Corundu, for the second time. And as we talked about that, Pastor Barry and I was serving as an elder, and David Bagwell was still here at the time serving as an elder. We talked about a shift in our philosophy about our mission trips and about doing things like making return trips to places like Corundu. And the thing we agreed on is we thought that was an excellent idea, because what that allows us to do is it allows us to really build relationships with those people. As I said, Pastor Bob Gunn was here not too long ago. You've heard many stories up here about people who have made connections with the people of Kirundo and the impact that it's had not only those people's lives, but on our lives, on the people who are down there serving. The impact has been by building a connection and having that relationship. They are not just another notch in our gun belt where we can check off the box and say, we did mission trip 2018, we're good, now we can just think about next year. No. Those people mean something to us. And we have got to build that connection with others and not just check off a box. So as we're serving others and if we're looking at others or trying to reach us, we need to look at the motives. What are the motives? Read their label. Don't be swayed, because it is easy to be swayed by someone who can maybe have a good word for you, but there's no substance to it. Read that label. Verse 14. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. And I love how he says that. The world doesn't care about Paul anymore. It's what is his message? What is the message he is bringing? And he wants them to understand he could really care less about what people think about him anymore. What is the message that I have? The focus, Paul had one focus. His focus was on the cross of Christ that destroyed his interest in the world. What is our focus on today? Verse 15, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Again, we get caught up on the external. Let's look at the internal. That's where the transformation begins, is inside. It's inside, and then it works its way out, inside out. Give your heart to Christ. Let him be the driving force of what you do. And then that will be personified in what people see on the outside then and see the real you. And as we do that, I have one other verse I want to read real quick. It's in Proverbs 12:27. Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, but the diligent make use of everything that they find. So if we're out there, we're wanting to be transformed, we need to take advantage of all the opportunities that are made for us to do that. It doesn't just happen in 1 hour here on a Sunday morning. It's going out, it's having that quiet time. It's taking advantage of opportunities. Like I said, I'll tell you what we experienced Friday night was amazing in that time of worship. And that's what they said. We're not here to do a concert for you. This is a time of worship. And it was an absolute time of worship and teaching. We had 10 women who just went to a women's conference down in Springfield. Take advantage. No, you can get a little louder shout now. Come on, Gina. There we go. I knew Sherry would. Take advantage of those opportunities. Men, we have a retreat coming up. We really need to get at least one more man. But we have a retreat coming up in November. And when we do things like this, like the women's conference that took place, and on the men's retreat, you know, some of the feedback we get is, well, I have to take a day off work. Yes, you do. But see, that's because you're making an investment now in what's taking. It's easy to say, okay, I'll get away for the weekend or something. You're having to make an investment now when you're taking a day off work and you're maybe having to put a few dollars down on a book study or whatever. You're invested in what you're learning. But take advantage of those opportunities. Youth, the things that are taking place there, I know we have a youth convention coming up in a few weeks in that. Take advantage of what is presented to you to learn and to grow. The children are gone now, but if you have children, get them back there. Get them plugged in with Pastor Jason and Ashley. They're doing some amazing work back there. Just find some way to use all the resources at your disposal. And the thing that stuck in my mind, when I read this passage was MacGyver. How many of you remember MacGyver? You know, it was back in the 80s and so on. Now CBS tried to reboot it a few years ago with a revised version. Seems like they're trying to reboot a lot of shows these days. MacGyver was, you know, a secret agent, didn't carry a gun. And he'd get in all these difficult spots. And he would use whatever he could to get out of it. He got a little duct tape. Duct tape solves everything, right? So you get some duct tape and I can get out of anything. It didn't matter. He didn't look at what he didn't have. He looked at what he had and how could he get out of that situation. Look at what's available to you today to be able to grow in your relationship with God. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this message that you've prepared for us, Lord, I pray that each one of us here, that our hearts have been prepared to read the label of our lives, read the label of what's going on, be aware of everything taking place around us in the spiritual warfare that is around us today. And one of the things that we learn, it should be something we know, but just reinforced Friday night at the concert we went to was fighting our battles by being on our knees in prayer to you. And even though that we are surrounded by the enemy, you are surrounding them, and you are there to cover us, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that we absorb this and that we take your message out into others, Lord, and to plant the good seed that you've called us to plant. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.